Major support for Out to Lunch is provided by the law firm of Jones Walker, established in 1937 with over 375 attorneys in offices throughout the U.S., providing a comprehensive range of services to a local, national, and international client base. JonesWalker.com. And by the East Baton Rouge Parish School System, inspiring humanity through transformational learning in the classroom and community. Initiatives like Pathways to Bright Futures allow students to graduate high school with an associate degree or an industry-based credential, along with their high school diploma. More information at ebrschools.org.
From Mansur's on the Boulevard, we're out to lunch with Stephanie Regal. It's business, Baton Rouge style.
Hi, I'm Stephanie Regal. Welcome to Out to Lunch. Sometime around 100,000 years ago, what we think of as modern humans started wearing clothes. And in the centuries since, the outfits and accessories we people have come up with have evolved from utilitarian garments to elaborate expressions of our culture and creativity. Clothes and accessories are fun, fanciful, and define who we are. And Baton Rouge entrepreneurs are building successful businesses that capitalize on our desire to define ourselves by what we put on our bodies and on top of our heads. With me today to discuss this is Jennifer Lofton, co-owner of Chapeau, a Baton Rouge-based millinery or hat-making business that combines 19th-century British quality and tradition with South Louisiana style and flair. Jen and her partner in Chapeau, Carla Carell, opened the business in 2022 and custom make creative headpieces for high-end occasions like the Kentucky Derby and down-home celebrations like the wearing of the green St. Patrick's Day Parade. Chapeau also hosts private parties at which guests can make their own festive hats and headpieces. Perhaps it's a way for the partners and pals to blow off steam. Jen has a PhD in education and works in educational publishing. Carla is an attorney. When they started the business, they said they were worried about how to spread the word. Turns out Chapeau caught on so fast, their problem now is keeping up with demand. And Jen, thank you so much for joining us at the table today. And Carla's here in the restaurant as well, so we're so glad to have you both on Out to Lunch.
Thank you. We're so glad to be here.
With me and Jen at the table is Joey Reddit, founder and owner of Joe Design Studios, a Baton Rouge couturier that makes custom clothing for women, children, and men with a particular focus on special occasion dresses. Joey has been designing clothes since 2010 when he was gifted a sewing machine. At the time, he had a successful t-shirt company called Grab It Rabbit, and after that business took off, he decided to try his hand at designing clothes. Today, Joey has 35,000 followers on Instagram and growing, his own studio, and a growing number of customers. Joey works fast, and Joe Design Studio is known for offering bespoke creations, sometimes in just a few hours. And so Joey is going to tell us about how he does that. Joey, welcome to Out to Lunch. It's
good
so
afternoon.
Nice to meet you.
Likewise.
So Jen, I want to start with Chapeau, because there are so many creative ideas out there, but hats are something that I remember my grandparents wearing them, right? But in the latter half of the 20th century, they sort of fell out of favor. Are they enjoying a resurgence, or is this more about the festive and festival culture in Louisiana?
I think it's a little bit of both. So when we started several years ago, definitely there was a pop culture moment happening in hats, so a lot of TV shows were featuring period pieces where hats were part of the costumes and part of the design, part of the characters. And then, of course, with the popularity of the royal family, everyone, you know, loves Princess Kate and William. And so her fashion, as a fashion icon, really, people pay attention to her clothes, including her hats. For us, we have always, in our friendship, celebrated with galas and costume parties, and we were always making headpieces for our own costumes even before we started the business. So for us, having a headpiece on is sort of a natural part of our personality and our aesthetic.
So much fun. So you and Carla go way back as personal friends besides being business partners.
We do. We are graduates of the Louisiana School in Natchitoches, and although we did not go to school together, we reconnected or connected at an alumni event about 15 years ago, more or less. We always say 10, but we've been saying 10 for a long time.
Great.
And so we just sort of clicked, and we became travel partners and friends, and the business grew out of that.
So interesting. Okay, well, I want to hear more about it. But Joey, let's bring you into the conversation because you also design and actually make fun, fanciful, and beautiful creations. And again, though, bespoke tailoring is an art and something of a lost art. How did you fall into this? Was it really as simple as your origin story suggests? You got a sewing machine and said, let me have at it.
As simple as it is, yeah. pretty much, like I said, I had a t-shirt company, and it slowly just evolved. I just wanted to continue growing the company. With Cricut and the Silhouette machines and so many people being able to make t-shirts, I knew that I had to take it just a little bit further. So my cousin got the sewing machine, and he was like, figure it out. And that's what...
But it's not easy to figure out a sewing machine.
No,
if you
but thank God for
say,
YouTube.
Grown up with it as a child, say?
No, I didn't get my first sewing machine until 2010. I had no interest in sewing at all. I did work in retail, and I guess I had somewhat of a love for fashion, but for the most part, I was like, I need to figure out how to make more money.
So you say you learned on YouTube. You taught yourself how to sew, not just piecing a pillowcase together or something, but real stuff.
Yeah. So every day after work, trial and error, and working in the retail space, just looking at the clothes every day, you kind of figure out, like, putting the puzzle together. I never really used a pattern, but I figured out how to make one and then, you know, put it back together.
Fantastic. I am so impressed and not... Just a little bit jealous as well. Jen, tell me about Chapeau, and you all make these beautiful headpieces, but you also do like parties. So, I mean, it's sort of a mix. It can be a serious fancy headpiece or more of just a fun thing.
Yes, we often describe it as having two parts to our work, one fine and one festive. Okay. And so the fine millinery being for things like weddings, the Derby, of course, and then festive millinery, either people will ask us to make party favors or, you know, things to wear to the parade, or the party is really, you know, so fun. People are looking for opportunities to get together and create community. So we do parties with sorority groups, float groups, birthday parties. We've done from a 7-year-old up to, I think, a 70-year-old birthday party. And when we had the idea for the business, honestly, it all happened in about 30 minutes that we were just brainstorming, you know, after we'd all been home for a while, you know, in the early 2020s. We were on a trip together and thinking about how fun it had been to get out into the world.
Right. Do stuff again.
And so in that moment, the idea of the party and also the fine millinery business was sort of born at once. We sometimes say we have more ideas than time. And so both of those parts of our business have really been thriving.
So, like Joey, how do you learn how to make fine hats? I mean, you're creative, obviously, you can do a festive headpiece, but I mean, something that I might feel okay wearing to the Derby. I mean, doesn't it take fancy people in England decades to do this kind of stuff for the royal family?
Well, we are self-trained, but that means experimenting with materials, learning new skills. So certainly resources like YouTube or the internet, you know, if you have a question about what to do with a certain kind of material, you can research that. But I think also just being innovative. So one of the things we have really enjoyed is as we encounter new kinds of materials, learning how to use them, the kinds of architecture you can create with a certain piece of fabric or a certain type of flower or other millinery materials has been really a lot of fun.
Excellent. Okay, Joey, let's go back to you because it's 2010, you have a sewing machine, you teach yourself how to do it, and so you decided to open this business where you really design the clothes and then make them pretty much in a matter of hours or days for clients.
So the idea came from the t-shirt company.
Okay.
The t-shirt was also custom made while you wait, and t-shirts really only take about 10, 20 minutes to make a lot of times. So I wanted to bring that into, like, the sewing part of the business. So I started to just go and do the business. And I was already kind of popular with the T-shirts ever since the Saints won Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And it just took off. And LSU reached out to me, and Southern University was doing Spring Fest, and they'll do like fashion shows and like nice. Events at the schools, and that got, you know, the name real big and popular, and it just ever since it just grew slowly and well, kind of rapidly.
Kind of rapidly. So you specialize in gowns though, like party dresses, gowns,
definitely
long
special
and
occasion,
short,
yeah.
special occasion.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mostly for women.
Mostly for women.
So do you custom design for each customer who comes in, or do they bring you sort of a sketch and you're like, I can work with this?
So the way the process works is you will typically send an email with like an inspiration picture or reference photos. And then from there, I'll consult with you or I have you book if it's your first time, and we'll consult and let you know about what materials you can use, what silhouettes might work with your frame, you know, what's realistic that we can do at the studio to make sure that we're both happy with the outcome.
Nice. And then would I bring you the fabric, or you go ahead and buy it?
At the consultation, we consult the fabric and everything, and you'll bring it into the next appointment, and that's when everything starts to get made.
Yo, where do we buy fabric and stuff like that today? I mean, there aren't many stores left anymore that sell, right? Certainly not in your town where you can touch and feel, right?
Yeah. So I use Etsy for just about everything. Online is where it's just my go-to.
And where do y'all get stuff for your finer, fancier hat?
For us, that was definitely part of the learning curve, was researching vendors and trying out, you know, different resources. Because millinery is not a big part of American culture, you know, most of the resources are available from places in the UK, England, Australia, and then we have found vendors in the Fashion District in New York and in that region. Nice. So because of that, that is one of our challenges, that when we do custom work, we require a little lead time if we have to order specialty materials. Mm-hmm. As our business has grown, we have been able to keep more materials here in our local supply, so we can frequently turn something around more quickly. But when people want something really unique and special that's an exact color or a certain texture, we are able to get those from our worldwide vendors.
Nice. And does a hat start with a base? I mean, is there some sort of a plastic or some sort of sturdy material, and then you cover it with fabric or fun decorations?
It can depend. So we can create a base from fabric. Cinema is a type of millinery material that a lot of things are made out of. So, for example, the bow that Carla is wearing is from cinema. But then also, that is one of the fun things, is to try like covering. There are some basic bases you can buy that you can apply different techniques and materials to create a look that it really is one of a kind. Some hats or fascinators particularly aren't on any sort of base. You know, they might be just on the headband functioning as the base or attached with a cord.
You're listening to Out to Lunch. I'm Stephanie Rigo. I'm talking to Jen Lofton of Chef Ho and Joey Reddit of Joe Design Studio. So, Joey, you whip these creations up. Do you work by yourself, or do you have employees who help you?
No, it's all me.
Really?
Yes, and it's very stressful.
I bet it is.
But no, the customer being there makes it easier for me. Sure. Because if something does go wrong, they're there to help. Like, what would you be okay with?
Yeah.
You know, if this doesn't work out or whatever. But that's very rare.
Do they literally wait while you do
it? Yeah, I give them a remote. They can watch TV. And that's sometimes they can watch as long as they're not on the phone.
But, sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't mind. And it's a fun process for them to see something that's just a blank, literally like a blank canvas, just morph into something before their eyes. So, and the kids like it too. And I'm like, oh God, don't bring the kids. They want to touch and everything.
So your studio is it in your house, or you have your?
I know I have an office space. It's off of Old Hammond Highway. Yeah, I've been there, I think 12 years now.
Very, very nice.
Yeah, so.
And you have all the equipment and everything you need sort of on site.
Everything is there except the material. The material is kind of like their deposit. Mm-hmm. I do offer them the option to order it online, or if they are more comfortable going into the store, I'll go with them in the store and we'll figure it out.
Yeah. Sure. That's great. And so, Jen, do y'all have a brick and mortar that you work out of? Do you have a creative space where people can come for the parties, or do y'all go and do it on site?
So right now we're both working out of our own home studios. We do consultations typically at my house. I live in sort of the center of Baton Rouge, so it's convenient for people to come to. For the parties, we do not have our own space, so that means we can come anywhere that you'd like. So We've done parties at other local crafting businesses where they have the setup, you know, tables, chairs. But most frequently, we go to people's homes. So they'll, you know, pull out the extra card table if they need to, or we bring a protective nice. Cover for the dining table. And we bring all the things people would need. So I have 50 hot glue guns in my garage.
Perfect.
You know, we don't use those for our fine millinery, but it means for our parties, we literally bring all the things and make it so convenient for people to have a really fun experience.
Right. Oh, that's great. That really, really is. What percentage of your business, say, revenue-wise, are the party customers compared to the, you know, royal wedding customers?
That's a great question, Stephanie. If I had to ballpark it, I'd say maybe 30% parties. The fine millinery is definitely more seasonal, you know, so the spring with Derby coming up, although we are starting to get more customers who are wanting pieces for weddings or proms or homecoming. Yeah. The parties are really all year, and this year we have expanded more into also corporate parties.
Yeah.
So we did a large party for a conference in New Orleans for 100 people. We've done employee appreciation parties here in Baton Rouge, and we would love to expand more into that market as well.
Yeah. So do y'all think people are starting to dress up more? You know, maybe as a backlash or just in reaction to just the super casual, you know, people don't dress up for work anymore. They don't wear business clothes. You know, everything is super casual. People don't dress nicely to get on an airplane. I mean, so do you think maybe there is that desire, Joey, for people to really go all out when they have an occasion?
Absolutely. I think our everyday lives, especially after COVID, it's T-shirt and sweats every day.
Every day.
And when it's time to go somewhere, you really get dressed. It's like time. It's your time to really feel, you know, that that goodness that clothes can bring oftentimes.
Yeah. So yeah. You really see that in your customers.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, my customers, they get dressed just to go to the bar sometimes.
That's great, too.
If it's their birthday or something. But yeah, definitely, it was a shift. And I was recently just purchased a home, and I started doing home design as well. So that also bring in, I started doing, like, pillows and curtains and, you know, reaching into that market as well. So,
and that's a whole different animal, I suppose.
Yeah, yeah, it is. And I love it, to be honest.
So you're really an artist, like you said, really a creative.
Yeah.
Do y'all see, Jen, people, you know, and your age group and demographic dressing up more or just for certain things?
I think I agree with Joey that, you know, on a regular daily basis, there's still a lot of athleisure wear, you know, in all of our circumstances. But with the emphasis on social media, everyone wants great pictures, you know. And what we find is that a really great headpiece or fascinator or the right hat just elevates your whole outfit. And so now when I see people at Mardi Gras balls, I see their pictures, I think, oh, they forgot their fascinator, you know, or we want to Photoshop one on and say, oh, this would be so great with this, you know, extra fantastic headpiece.
That's so great. There's a lot of equipment and expense that goes into what you all do. Is it hard to make money doing it? Your dress is expensive. I know we've had some custom clothiers on here on the show recently, in fact, who are sort of all over the, you know, the spectrum in terms of price.
Yeah, similar. My gowns are a little bit more expensive, but I've never sold anything over $500. So everything is a little bit reasonable now. The material cost sometimes can get a little pricey.
Yeah.
And I don't incur those fees, but I let my client know whenever we're doing a consultation that, you know, your dress could range from anywhere between $300 and, you know, $1,000 sometimes. Just
depends on how much they spend on the fabric.
How much the material is. And, you know, material cost has gotten really expensive over the years. And they're like, oh, that's how much it is. I'm like, yeah, no, that's about how much it is. But I try to be as reasonable as possible.
And is your target demo, you know, 20s, 30s, 40s, older?
All the dead presidents.
All okay.
No, I don't target any particular demographic. I just make and word of mouth spreads, and whoever hears, they're welcome to come.
That's nice. What about y'all, Jen?
So we definitely had to learn that as business owners, you know, we needed to charge for our time. We learned a lot about understanding the cost of our materials and how to price things appropriately. Our pieces typically range from around $100 up to around $500 for fine pieces. Sometimes some of the festive pieces could be less. But we find that people are willing to invest sure. for a piece that is really unique. And one of the things that we love is helping somebody. So we call it hat therapy sometimes. Yeah. People will say, like, I'm not a hat person, but I have to wear one for this thing. And when they try one on that they really love and they get this big smile and you know they feel beautiful and they can tell they're going to have fun, it's a different experience than looking for something that's mass-produced, that's available, you know, in large quantities that you might show up at the party and, you know, everyone has one on. Certainly, there are times that that might be an appropriate choice, but we find that our customers recognize that they really want to have a unique experience. They want to be part of the design process. Mm-hmm. And when we started, we said we're going to do sort of a slow launch. And then Carla's husband said, what happened to this slow launch? We said, well, the universe has spoken and people want chapeau. And so it took off much faster than we anticipated.
That's a great line. Yeah, I'm glad to hear that. What about social media? How important is social media in helping you do what you do, Joey?
Oh, social media is everything for me.
Everything.
I don't know any other advertisement outside of social media. Wow. Everything is there. The great part about it is people, if they really like it, they'll share it for you and they'll post it, repost it, and that really brings in people trust who they know. Yeah. And that's in my opinion, the best form of marketing for sure.
And so what platform is most effective for you? Is it Instagram, Snapchat,
Instagram,
Facebook, something
Instagram
else?
For sure. It used to be Facebook, but now Instagram for sure. And I'm debating if I'm going to make a TikTok or not. They say TikTok is where it's at now, so
yeah.
We'll see.
Yeah.
Yeah, but Instagram for sure. Over the past 10 years, Instagram really took my business to the next level.
That's fantastic. What about y'all, Jen? Do you do a lot of, online advertising or just rely on that?
So Carla does an excellent job managing our social media. And by managing, I mean do it all. Mm-hmm. So we are on Facebook and on Instagram. We have stories or posts every day, really. It's a great way for people who are our followers. A lot of our new designs might be posted on social media before they get added to our store. And so we do have people sometimes reach out and say, I want that one. That one is for me. Yeah. So it's really important to us. And then also, like you said, Joey, that people share it. And so a lot, like our homecoming business last year was mostly referrals from the year before. And then, for events like the Derby, people are really proud to share their pictures and let people know about their experience. And that's been great publicity for us as well.
What is the plan moving forward, say, for the next couple of years? Before we wrap up, real quick, Joey, how do you scale this business? How do you grow and plans to hire more employees to help you out or maybe dig more into the, you know, interior design division of your one-man business?
I think about this often. In the past, I've gotten people to come in and help, and then they take off and they start their own, which is fine. But as far as scaling, the only thing that I was thinking that I might do is mass production, which is what I'm totally against. But I understand that in business, you can't accommodate everyone without a team. And there's conversations with some vendors I have in India that's willing to still continue the custom process. It just takes a little bit longer. You won't get it in 2 hours, but you might get it in 2 or 3 weeks. So that's still pretty quick for a custom piece. So that's the route I'm thinking about going in. I won't know for sure until I don't know when I'm gonna know, honestly. Okay.
But you'll know when you know.
I'll know when I know.
All right. Well, we'll be waiting to see. And what about chapeau? Seems like there's a concept that's really scalable there.
Well, certainly the party model, every time we do a party, someone says, are you guys going to franchise this? And so we sort of laugh about it, but as we continue to grow, we've said that is something we would be willing to explore. And then also we're interested in exploring the idea of a more casual line that might be manufactured, but only if we could find the right partners that we trusted, you know, with the quality. And then also we love the design process. And so determining what the future holds in that regard is still to come.
Well, Jen Lofton and Carla Carell and Joey Reddit, Baton Rouge is so fortunate to have entrepreneurs who are so artistically inclined and are sharing their creative gifts and beautiful, fashionable, fun creations with us here in the community. We've enjoyed this conversation. Thank you so much for sharing your stories with us today on Out to Lunch.
Thanks for having us.
My guests today on Out to Lunch have been Jen Lofton of Chapeau and Joey Reddit of Joe Design Studio. We edited this show to fit into our time slot here on WRKF. You can hear our unedited conversation and find out more about Chapeau and Joe Design Studio on the Out to Lunch Baton Rouge podcast. You can find and subscribe to the Out to Lunch Baton Rouge podcast on your podcast app and on our website. It's batonrouge.la. If you want to know what we all look like, you can find photos from this show on itsbatonrouge.la and on our Out to Lunch Baton Rouge social media. Today's photos were taken by Brian Newton. Out to Lunch is a production of INO Broadcasting for itsbatonrouge.la and WRKF 89.3 FM. The producer of our show is Grant Morris. Our technical producer is Eric Merle. Our associate producers are Peter Ricciuti and Ann Edelman. Today's show was engineered by JT O'Neill. I'm Stephanie Regal. Thanks for joining me. I look forward to meeting you around the table at Mansour's again next week for more business Baton Rouge style on Out to Lunch.
Out to Lunch Baton Rouge is recorded live over lunch at Mansour's on the Boulevard in Baton Rouge. Mansour's is open for lunch daily, 11 to 2, for dinner nightly, and for brunch on Saturdays and Sundays. Major support for Out to Lunch is provided by the law firm of Jones Walker, established in 1937 with over 375 attorneys in offices throughout the U.S., providing a comprehensive range of services to a local, national, and international client base. JonesWalker.com. And by the East Baton Rouge Parish School System, inspiring humanity through transformational learning in the classroom and community. Initiatives like Pathways to Bright Futures allow students to graduate high school with an associate degree or an industry-based credential, along with their high school diploma. More information at ebrschools.org. Mitchell Foreman wrote and performs all the music on Out to Lunch. You can hear Mitchell's music anywhere great jazz is sold or streamed, and at mitchellforeman.com. If you'd like to be part of Out to Lunch, to learn how your business or organization can become an Out to Lunch program partner, email info@inobroadcasting.com.